38 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of August. In the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and snake-ridden studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Wednesday. And welcome to day 12. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. You can also go to our myriad MySpace pages. We got RickEmerson.com. We got SarahXDillon.com. We have JimRileyMedia.com. We're everywhere. We cannot be stopped. We're spreading over the entire world like a gigantic radio kudzu. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. All right, so here's what's... Oh, we should... I'll bring on Chris the Mailman in just a second. Bring on Mailman Chris in a moment, the official stenographer of the Rick Emerson radio program. Let me just say before we do anything else, I'm feeling just the slightest bit over-amplified today. And I'll explain why in a second. All I'm going to say is this. When you get up in the morning and perhaps you're bicycling or perhaps you've engaged in some sort of cardiovascular activity, some sort of strenuous exercise, perhaps it's in the evening, the afternoon, after you've gone home from a long day of work and you're looking forward to unwinding and going to sleep, let me encourage you, friends and neighbors, children and loved ones, to very carefully peruse the back of that bottle of Viso before you just cavalierly open the cap and drain the entire thing in like 30 seconds. I found that out last night, and then I found it out again this morning. And I suspect that I'm going to be continuing to find that out for the duration of today's program. We'll give you more details on that here in a moment. 503-733-2970. You can also email us, Rick at RickEmerson.com. Before we do anything further, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, Mailman Chris, the official stenographer and recordist of the Rick Emerson radio experience. How are you, sir?
Good, and yourself?
I'm feeling a little over-caffeinated today, but that is okay. You know, the great thing about that is it's nothing that a little more caffeine won't cure. Eventually, you get to the point where this is how Ritalin works. A lot of people don't understand how Ritalin functions. People think that Ritalin is some sort of a depressant or that it's some sort of a sedative. Your child's bouncing off the walls, and he's an a-hole, and he won't shut up, and you give him Ritalin, and it calms him down. It doesn't really work that way. Ritalin, not unlike many other drugs of the same family, Ritalin works by actually cranking your kid so high and just getting him so hopped up that he can't do anything. It's sort of like the Henry Rollins called it the wheel that is going so quickly it looks like it's standing still. That's kind of what Ritalin does, and that's sort of what too much caffeine eventually does to me. So if this continues to persist, I'm simply going to ingest more coffee, and it's all going to come out in the wash. How are you doing, Sarah?
You are crazy right now.
Hello!
You don't even know what it's like being trapped in a room with him.
It's a ringing endorsement of this program if
You're
I've ever heard
absolutely
it.
Absolutely insane.
You should have
Your
seen me.
Your eyes are bugging out of your head.
You should have seen me at the department head meeting this morning. Rick, what? How's AM 970? Fantastic! Woo! It's totally going around the room and... You know, some guy from the mix is talking, and then some guy from KUFO is talking, and then somebody from traffic is talking, and then they come over to me, and I'm just sitting with my eyes bulging out and sweat pouring out of every
no wonder you're not freezing in
clothing.
Here. You're all tweaked out. It is cold.
Let's clarify that when I'm all tweaked out on life, also caffeine.
And Viso.
And Viso. Ooh, Viso jittery. And so forth. Anyway, so here's the thing. Now, yesterday marked a momentous turning point in the Rick Emerson Show because, you know, now this, we started having Chris on as the stenographer because I have this, and this is not a recent development for the last 8 years. Well, the last 8 years that I've been in this market because I came to Portland in 1998. I've been doing talk radio for, what year is this, 2006?
8 years.
No, here. Longer than that. Here. Well, here, eight years. Better part. I've been doing talk radio for more than a day. Yes, with occasional 6 month stretches to sort of recuperate and recover. I've been doing talk radio for over a decade. I never even realized that until just now. I'm not going to go on about how old I am, but it's not even really that. It's just I can remember, and I will not go and recreate the whole thing, but I can remember right now. I was just thinking about this. I can remember like it was yesterday, my very first night as a talk show host. Boy, man, 12 years. This goes by. And, you know, a lot of those with Clyde. That's the weird thing is I've been working with Clyde in one stretch or another for like 10, 11 years of that. Anyway. But so this has been a persistent and recurring problem on the Rick Emerson Show, which is where I will tease things and then I'll get distracted by lint or some sort of a shiny object or just air. and I will not get to those things. So lately we've started bringing on Chris here to be the stenographer. He writes down the things that I got to get to, that I forward promote, that I guarantees. And then at the end of the program, he comes back on and he lists those things which were gotten to and those things which were not. And I then owe a push-up to the collective for each item not gotten to. Yesterday, I got to every item on the list, which means not only do I not add push-ups, I got to remove one. What is the current push-up total, Chris?
The tally board reads 24.
We have to have some sort of a sound effect for that. So here's what we're going to try to get to today in the Rick Emerson radio program. We will be doing the Stormwatch, which is... The Stormwatch encompasses several things. We'll be doing the Stormwatch. Inside that today, the Rockstar recap. We'll be doing the recap of Rockstar Supernova, which we all watched last night at Dante's, which is a fantabulous time. We will also play, because I think they previewed the CD last night after Rockstar was done, but we are the only radio station right now to have the new single from Storm and the Balls. So we will play again the new single from Storm and the Balls.
And this time you won't bleep it.
Well, I thought, long story short, the single...
You are quick draw on that thing.
I was only listening with half my ear because I was writing something. The single in its album form is very, very profane. And Davey's like, well, look, we got you a radio version of it, you know, and so, and I was like, okay, and I played it, and then I heard the word jet, but it sounded a lot to me like a euphemism for the male member. And I know that that sounds strange, but with only listening with half my head, I was listening along and I heard that, you need a jet to get it. But in my head, it was like, you need a blank, the male member. And I'm like, whoa! And I hit the button and then it turns out that I was a little quick draw there. Anyway, we will play the new single from Storm and the Balls today. We'll do an encore edition of The Week in Geek. We will get to the worst song you've ever heard because Tim knows it, I know it, we've both had to play it hundreds of times and you're all going to suffer with us. And we will introduce a new Mideast correspondent. Joining us on the Rick Emerson Show today.
Sanjay Gupta.
That you can hit on.
Yeah, I will not hit on her.
I was going to find her picture before we had her. Nanette?
From Jerusalem. Well, they have two. See, it takes two women to do the work of one Lisa Goddard over there. Mm-hmm. Lisa Goddard is in transit back to the States. They have Amanda Moyer and Nanette Sosa. She sounds cute. Nanette Sosa will be speaking to us from Jerusalem. Ed McCarthy. And Bob Costantini, for once, in his miserable life, will be joining us on the program today. And this, well, because they never let him on. They never let him speak to us anymore. Here's the thing about Bob Costantini.
Oh, he's cute.
Nanette Sosa.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hello. Hi there.
Well.
I've got the bad boy vibe that she craves, too. Oh. Excellent. And look up Amanda Moyer while you're over there from CNN. CNN gets all the babes.
I wonder if she's in a relation to Bill Moyer.
No, that's Moyers.
Oh, Moyers.
And at least, she doesn't have that crazy plastic surgery crap going on like Greta Van Susteren. Bob Costantini will be here to talk. This is really the only reason I want to talk to Bob Costantini is because Senator Mel Martinez from Florida actually was, quote, giddy over the report of Fidel Castro's surgery. I love the idea of a senator rooting for a head of state to die.
She's pretty cute in like a wholesome way.
Amanda Moyer?
Yeah.
She's sort of cute in a mathlete kind of way. I could see that. All right. So we will do all of that in a dog walking kind of fashion. Hello. All of that's coming up, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Chris.
A couple loud in here.
Do you have everything today?
Yeah, you got the picks here. We got a Stormwatch, which will include the Rockstar recap and the replay of the single.
Yes.
The Speaking Geek, the worst song ever, Nanette Sosa.
Yes.
Ed McCarthy and Bob Constantini.
Fantastic. There you go. Thank you, my friend. We'll check in with you at the end of today's program.
Will do.
There you go. All right. 503-733-2970. We're here today as our with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing?
Hello. I'm doing better than yesterday.
Okay. So we're trading off. So you feel better and now I'm all wacky and sweaty.
I know. You're all crazy. Let's talk about sweaty, though. Last night at Dante's.
Let's talk about sweat.
That was so hot in there. I was very, very warm.
Well, especially because we had to stand toward the back. And Kristen from accounting normally secures a table at Dante's. See, long story short, we have been going to Sabalas, but then there was some unpleasantness. And
they didn't have the projector, and it was like 15 minutes before it was going to start, and I couldn't take the chance of, you know.
There was just time for a change.
Yeah.
No slight, no offense.
Yeah, no offense. Except like Dante's, you know, that's her ground. That's where she used to perform. Those are her people.
And they were ready, so we went to Dante's last night. But Kristen did not know that we were all going to be there. And plus, the Oregonian did a big piece on it, so it was packed. And so we're in the back.
On Channel 8 last night.
And I was on Channel 8. Just
babbling like a fool.
No, babbling like an idiot.
Oh,
just saying more.
It.
Oh, I have it. But I don't have the video, but it's just me and my balding, you know, head. It's just me babbling like a fool, saying more of that like weird evangelist crap that doesn't make any sense.
Tell Tim what I did.
Oh, this is great. No, we'll talk about it when we get to that. I have it written down here. It's on the Matrix. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
Castro refuses to die. Mel Gibson makes another round of apologies. We'll have more about PCH, Hollywood's Highway to Hell, and an Alabama man's arrested for waving a flag in the nude standing along a highway.
Alabama man! All right. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, you were on the air at 3:05 yesterday. You need to do one push-up for every minute past 3. No, that doesn't make any... This is a guy who clearly wasn't listening. We have now expanded the Rick Emerson program. There's now 4.4 repeating. 4.4 repeating percent more of the Rick Emerson radio program every day.
Pardon our Dusty, we're expanding to meet the growing needs of the community.
That's fantastic. The best thing is how that just rolled off your tongue with no effort. No charge, it's our gift to you. All right. Family owned and operated since 1972. Can I tell you this? I got the best picture of something the other day. There's this place, I won't give the name of the business. I don't wish for them to think I'm making fun. And I'm not making fun of their beliefs. I swear to God, it really is just a visual joke. I'll put it on my website. But I was, my wife and I were at an eating establishment some time back. And it was, sometimes you go to this eating establishment. It was, we don't really go to those 50s themed restaurants a lot because they're tacky and horrible. But we had this thing, we were bicycling, it was hot, and we kind of had this thing, we wanted an ice cream cone. So we're like, well, where can we get an ice cream cone? And the first place we saw it was, and I'm not much of an ice cream guy, but every now and again, like, if you want ice cream, that's a thing, especially if it's hot, you're like, you gotta have it. So we found it like a 50s style diner place, you know, with a red roof and where everything's a check tablecloth and they're just playing endless Bill Haley records. So we went in there, and for some reason, those 50s themed restaurants always have sort of that laminated menu. It's laminated and folded over in the middle, and then it's also filled with like all manner of trivia and zany jokes. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's those menus. And it's like a church program in that it's menu. And which is sort of like in the church program where they give the liturgical readings are going to be. And then on the side, it's got, you know, like zany, kooky jokes, and it's got the little bits of trivia and whatnot, like the edge from the Oregonian. And then it's got a bunch of ads from local merchants in the back who have paid to create the laminated menus. So there is a business, and I will not name the business, but they're an auto business. We'll leave it at that. But they're one of those businesses that they want you to know that they are a group of Christians. It is a Christian business. And they've been there since 1977. But of course, whoever did their photo layout, and I'll put this on my site later tonight. I've got it at home. I took it and I put it up. We actually stole the menu and I put it up in my refrigerator at home because it's hilarious. I magnetized it up there. Whoever did their photo layout didn't really check because they've got the two messages, which is Jesus is Lord, and then the Christian fish, you know, this fish symbol. And then, of course, they want to convey that they're open since 1977. But they apparently didn't do the photo layout themselves, and whoever did it just didn't care and shoved all the dialogue together. And so I swear to God, it says Jesus is Lord since 1977, which is hilarious. It's the best thing you've ever seen because the Christian fish is flanked by that. It's like the Christian fish and then flanked like Jesus is Lord since 1977. Ever since that big deity shakeup during the Carter years. All right. Well, I got nothing. It's 503-733-2970. Who tickets are on sale?
Who?
Yeah, thank you. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, here at the City Desk, here's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high down the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News. Me, Tim Riley, reporting. An independent review board is investigating the recent DUI arrest of Mel Gibson. They say the arrest was handled in accordance with department policies. The Office of Independent Review, which is something they probably made up. Their spokesman, Michael Janesco, says he can't confirm that the report was modified as far as format goes, but says they're trying to determine how much modification took place.
I'm sorry, I don't understand anything here. All I care about is that these Gibson cuts are so great that I've...
What do you think you're looking at, sugar?
that he apologized to her again today, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds kind of... Why would he apologize to that? That sounds like kind of a compliment, actually. Mm-hmm. It sounds as though she's a sprightly and attractive young woman with wonderful curves.
What do you think you're looking at, sugar?
Here's the thing about these Mel Gibson cuts that Scotty J created is that, you know, every day, and you all can't see this here, but we have this thing called I swear to God, this is what this machine is called. It's called a Cardomatic. And I know it sounds like a made-up term, but this is a little machine. It's not a machine, but it's a program on our computer.
It rolls around circles and serves pieces of pie.
In no way. That's an automat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. And you go there with Woody Allen right before you go to Radio City Music Hall. And then we're going to go to the Cardomatic, and I'm going to get some locks.
And you see these 10 hands filling cups of coffee and putting them down the assembly.
Have you ever gone to an automat? There's one left. There's one automat left in New York, and Laura and I did not get to see it the last time we went back to it, but that is my goal. My goal is to eat in an automat. That's on my list of things to do. Speaking of which, hold on, little note to myself.
Should Mailman Crispy jotting that down?
No,
oh, that's a different list.
There's a book. So rarely do I ever want to get authors on. In fact, have we ever had an author on this program? I had
Garland.
One. Well, but I mean a real author. someone that we did not know beforehand.
Oh,
there's too much caffeine in this room. I can tell.
No, I'm talking.
Someone's not using his filter.
There's plenty of trouble ahead.
Yeah.
No. I'm only fooling. No, because we had Peter Carlin on before he was ever a published writer. You know, he was in the Oregonian.
Before he was a real writer?
In the Oregonian.
Okay, everybody knows what I meant
out there. Well, the Oregonian is a real newspaper, not to be confused with that Milwaukee newspaper.
Look, Peter Carlin, he's on my Motorola queue. He emailed me earlier. We're pals. I could call Peter Carlin right now if I wanted. We're close bosom friends. I'm saying we had Peter Carlin on before he wrote a book. Mm-hmm. We're like, you know what it is? We are to Peter as we are to Storm. We are, we're longtime fans. We didn't wait for that, you know, when the rest of the world's just now catching up. I'm saying... We don't really have authors on the only reason they're on is because they wrote some book that we heard about. I think the only author I have ever had on was Charles Cross, who wrote Heavier Than Heaven, which was a book about Nirvana, a book about Kurt Cobain a couple years. And that was years ago. That was like in 2001. But there's a book that came out called Die Happy. And it sounds like a pretty interesting book, actually. Laura was telling me about it. She saw it in an airport, Powell's or something. It's a book of like 1,000 things that you have to do before you die. It's a book for guys, like 1,000 things that dudes have to do before they die, which is kind of an interesting concept.
I don't think I want to read that while flying.
No, 1,000 things to do before you are incinerated in a fiery ball of doom over Decatur.
How do we get onto this topic?
Automat, Woody Allen, Cardomatic. So here's the thing. We play our sound off this thing called a Cardomatic. Mm-hmm. And there are different folders. There's temporary folders, and then there are permanent folders. The Gibson stuff was in our temporary folder for Monday, I think, because Monday is when we started playing all the sound. This Gibson stuff is so fantastic.
You I'm going to you.
We have now moved it to the permanent folder. It is now part of the permanent Emerson archive.
That's going to make Scotty the valedictorian of his graduating class.
It really is. No, it's in there right next to
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Stuff has got to pass a lot of muster before we move it into the permanent archive. There's all kinds of stuff. What's an example of a piece of sound that we probably won't be keeping that we only played once? Let me see if I can find something here. How about this? This is a good one.
I'm drowning here.
I mean, it's amusing.
You were describing the water.
It's the drowning sound that guy made. It's amusing. Probably not a thing that we're going to use all the time or that we'll keep that much. Here's another one that we might keep. Well, no, I'm getting off the point now. Anyway, the Gibson stuff is now in our permanent folder. So we have Mel Gibson now. Do we have actual news on him today?
Oh, yes, we do. And thank you for asking.
Let him get to it.
There's a report underway to try to find out if somebody doctored up that police report.
Concerns have been raised regarding whether the disclosure and documentation of information surrounding the arrest was consistent with department policies. Interviews are taking place that will further illuminate this process.
In other words, did he really say things about you? So we know
the guy claims that he has it on tape. The deputy claims.
And regardless, his career is destroyed.
Oh, he's hosed. Well,
yeah.
Especially because Because
he'll end up on the WB.
Made a movie that everybody made a movie that people thought was anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you right now that I never saw it. I did not see The Passion of the Hello. Who is that?
That's Lindsay Lohan.
That's a good photo. Mm-hmm. Is that on your website?
No, I don't. Why
oh, that's
I...
right. You don't post good photos. I'm sorry. That's the really.
You just like it because her breasts look enormous.
Yes, that's the damnable misery of your site. Is that there's really nothing there to fuel one's active imagination.
But
it's all just horrible photos of like Nicole Richie's bony, leathery arm.
And I also just posted photos that were just released of Mel Gibson an hour before he was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Trashed all over a bunch of girls at a party.
Is one of the girls Mrs. Gibson?
There is no Mrs. Gibson
really
scene.
Mrs. Gibson is not in the photos. That's fantastic. Mel Gibson trashed surrounded by women right before screaming about a bunch of...
Jews. The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. Are you a Jew? What do you think you're looking at, sugar?
Best thing ever. So, what was I saying?
She's going to end up with an acting contract anyway.
The sugar woman?
Uh-huh.
The sugar lady? Well, no, because...
At least an invitation to reality.
He makes this movie, which was widely perceived to be... Well, not widely. Perceived by many, many people to be anti-Semitic. His father clearly is an anti-Semitic, Holocaust-denying, idiot, nutcase bigot. Mel Gibson, though, did, I am not a bigot. In no way am I a bigot, except when I've been drinking and making bigoted movies. And he's, I mean, he's toast, especially because there is the written police report, and then the guy who made the police report out claims that there's an audio tape. And you know that if there's any sort of disputing about this, you know that audio tape's going to come out. You know it's just a matter of time. The clock is ticking before that audio tape is released, and we get to hear all of this, like, in living color.
My own Malibu. I'll spend all my money getting even with you.
Yeah. Genius.
Anyway, this police officer says... much to the surprise of all, police reports are changed all the time.
Reports are modified all the time.
Ask O.J. Simpson.
It's a sergeant's responsibility to ensure in reviewing a report that all of the essential elements are included in
spin,
the report.
Spin, spin.
My life is f***.
It's, you know, the best part about theirs is not even anything remotely approaching an Australian accent. That's really what sells those. That's what puts those over the top.
It's PCH, Hollywood's Highway to Hell. It was Nick Nolte, whose mugshot was taken after you get caught weaving down that road.
That's kind of the gold standard for celebrity
GHB.
Mugshots, too.
Robert Downey Jr. taken into custody in PCH in 1998 when he was stopped for speeding. And let's see here, what else? Oh, actor and singer Ben Vereen was struck by a Chevy Suburban in June 1993 when he tried to cross the highway in the dark.
Was Ben Vereen blind?
Huh?
Is he?
No. He might be now. In December, Drake Bell of the teen hit show Drake and Josh suffered a broken jaw, broken neck, and seven broken teeth when his vintage Ford Mustang was struck by another vehicle when he was turning onto PS8. And let's see here. As a result, Hollywood loves the highway. It is a favorite location for television commercials as well.
Fantastic.
Also, it saw the 1960s beach party movie starring Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello.
Excellent. Isn't GHB carpet cleaner? Somebody told me that's what that was. That it was essentially the stuff used to clean carpets.
I don't know.
I'm addressing the room. Is there anybody here would know?
I always call somebody to do my carpeting. I never ask them what they use.
Rick, oh, don't forget you had a band member from Semisonic on last year. Oh, that's true. What's his name? Jake Slichter from Semisonic. Great interview. Probably the best interview I've ever done. Semisonic, who wrote You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star. Yeah, I don't have that on tape. I wish I did. All right, that's Matt.
We should break to be on time for our conversation with Nanette.
For a conversation with Nanette Sosa. All right. We'll do this. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Nanette Sosa coming up later on. Bob Costantini, Rockstar Recap, and an encore of the week in Geeky. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. Not
he's
like
great.
A fool.
Yes.
All right. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We have embarrassing photographs of Jessica Simpson in a see-through dress. That's all ye know and all ye need know. Oh, and I think she's... Is she throwing up inside the window of a car? Because that's what it kind of looks like in the photograph.
It does look like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini will be joining us. Also, Ed McCarthy will also have the Rockstar Recap with Kristen from Accounting. The new single from Storm and the Balls, The Weekend Geek, and it's the worst song you've ever heard. All right. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Jerusalem, CNN radio correspondent. Oh, we should probably... Well, this that's a good question, actually. We don't even really have a sounder, do we?
Why don't you play one of your sounders, Rick? Introduce Nanette to our kooky radio station.
Because I don't really know what Nanette has been told about our radio program or the way in which we conduct ourselves. Let me see if I can find something that's...
Just like the Larry King Show.
Yes, it's exactly what it is. It's regular First Light. For the love of... Well, I'll just... Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent Nanette Sosa. Am I pronouncing that correctly, first of all?
You are. You're so pronouncing that right.
I mean,
this is all for the love of money that I'm here, so that could be a good song for the preface of it, because there sure aren't tourists here in Jerusalem.
Really, fantastic. So it's purely mercenary on your part?
Total.
Fantasy, that's the kind of refreshing and bracing honesty that's going to make you a standout here on the Rick Emerson Show, Nanette.
Either that or unemployed.
No, well, that's you, sister. We are in the same boat there. It's it's really just this, or just crushing, depressing life on the sofa, doing nothing and being supported by my wife. So you and I are sort of on opposite sides of the same coin there. How have you just gotten to Jerusalem, or as it's sometimes referred to, according to Lisa Goddard, Disneyland? Have you just gotten there? Have you been there for a while?
Yeah, it's an e-ticket ride all the way. We kind of passed the baton over here. Lisa's now on her way back over to the East Coast, and so myself and a cohort here, Amanda, we're both over here, and then from here we go to Haifa over the weekend. So we'll be traveling. We'll be packing our backpacks and our tents.
Did you have to undergo combat training of any kind? Because I know that was actually on the agenda for her, where they were very much going to be simulating things like kidnappings and riot situations.
Yes, totally. And I have the bruises to prove it.
Really? It's 5 days, apparently. Isn't that how long it takes to do it?
You know what? It's 5 days, and it's so bad that the sweat that drips off your face actually heals the wounds of the people that you're trying to help. That's how bad it is.
We got to get you on here every single hour of every day.
You know what? It'd be one thing if I were making it up, but the thing is that it's the truth. I'm telling you, wounds heal from the salt of my face. That's how it was.
That is
cause bandage.
That is both great and hideous all at once. That is simultaneously the best and worst piece of news I've ever heard from a correspondent. So, well, let's talk a little bit about the situation itself. I mean, there's a confluence of two different and seemingly contradictory things happening here, which is that on the one hand, or maybe even three, on the one hand, that Israel is, as they say, expanding or, depending on the source, is spreading its campaign against Hezbollah. On the second hand, the United States is weighing in and trying to, as they say, structure some sort of peace or structure some de-escalation of the violence. Yet on the third hand, the United States, probably because they sort of passively wish for the eradication of Hezbollah, is really not cracking down probably as much as some folks think they could. And so I guess my question is, where does that leave us today and what's going on?
You know, sometimes you wonder if the boys with the big toys are going to be the ones to win. And that's just pretty much the way you got to look at it. It's Israeli officials and military going with their 25,000 people. And so what happens today? Hezbollah pulls out a 200-pound rocket that's called a Caver and shot it over into the West Bank over 90 miles. So it managed to, you know, hit the West Bank, killing a person. So it's all about the toys, you know, the toys.
And so is this armament or weaponry that we knew that they had, or are they sort of surprising us by pulling out stuff that we didn't really know was there?
That particular one was a little bit of a surprise, and it's the only one they launched. I don't know if they got a sale on it, if it was a Kmart closeout. Who knows? I don't know. But there were more than 200 that were launched. Of the 200, I believe it was 205 or 215 that were launched. Only one was that Kyber missile that I described to you with its 200-pound warhead.
Well, let me ask you this. So every time they sort of amp these things up, or every time they sort of up the ante with the weaponry or with their choice of weapons, does this have, in other words, does this have the paradoxical effect of just escalating the blowback even further and the response of Israel? In fact, it doesn't really have any effect of de-escalating this, does it?
It doesn't. And Israel military really has the attitude of they don't care if you take one soldier or 10,000 soldiers. The fact is, you took a soldier. So they just have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to you don't mess with us. The thing was is that there was a resolution that was in place and that deadline passed. So that's when Israel said, hey, come on, you know, you signed this, and Lebanon said that they were going to clean out their little state there and get everything, get their ducks in a row, and they missed the deadline. So with that happening, that's when it was, well, Hezbollah's got to move.
And Israel does have, and I just mean this in a very objective sense, Israel does have sort of a policy that is probably not unfair to say that it's similar to that of sort of the Roman Empire, which is a disproportionate response and, as you said, a zero tolerance policy, that if you incur by one inch, if you cause one death, that we're just going to pound and pound and pound until you are eliminated.
That's it. That is so much the attitude. Unfortunately, while you can have that attitude, and the people here that I've spoken with still support the military, they're 100%. You would think if it were the equivalent of the U.S. to Bush, you'd think everybody was Republican around here. Yeah, they still support the government here, even though I had a taxi cab driver that's only getting paid 20 shekels a day, and it cost him 25 to live. You know, so it's a tough call there. Mm. But they support the government. There's really no criticism within the city limits of Jerusalem.
All right. Well, stay safe, and I'm sure we will be talking to you a lot more, Nanette. It was a real pleasure. You're fantastic, by the way. Thanks for I'm not going to name names like Bob Costantini, but sometimes people come on and you can tell that they're thrown a little bit by the sometimes irreverent tone of the Rick Emerson program.
I had to live with the name of Nanette, and if you can make it through that, and when people ask me, how do you remember that, I always say my mother had a stutter. So it's like Nanette, Nanette, Nanette. So that's how it goes. With a name like that, you just move on.
Fantastic. Nanette, stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rick.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Nanette Sosa in Jerusalem. She's fantastic.
She's so excited.
You brightened her day.
Well, that's what I do.
I bet it sounds like Lisa might have had some glowing words about you.
Yeah. Lisa who? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's what we do, Tim. We brighten the day. We brighten the days for people who are in war zones. That's what the Rick... They really should put us on Armed Forces Radio right now. Just kick that Michael Savage right off the air. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
I don't know how to continue.
He's brightened my day. I feel so much better about the war and things and stuff
like
and nouns.
Bring a ray of sunshine to the Middle East.
It was great. That line about her mom having a stutter. All right. Excellent.
Well, the State Department is treading carefully on the news that Fidel Castro is incapacitated. We said that before, haven't we? This is number three.
All right. Yeah,
in the event Cuba does make a transition,
to democracy,
the United States and the American people will do everything that we can to stand by the Cuban people in their aspirations for
democracy. We will do everything we can to install a puppet government to serve our needs. Cuba's one of those bizarre... Now, correct me if I'm wrong about this, because you can't fly from here to Cuba. There's an embargo, a tourism embargo.
But you can fly in from Canada.
You can fly in from Canada.
Or Mexico.
Here's how I know this, because my hippy-trippy wife keeps trying to get me every year, and then I think the last time we had this argument, we were off the air, we were on one of those hiatuses we were talking about with Nanette Sosa just moments ago, which you can tell she knows all too well as a radio person. But I think the last time this happened with my wife... we were not on the air, and so we weren't able to talk about it. But I think I used the "I'm unemployed, baby. We can't be spending no money" card. But my wife is all about going to Cuba for reasons that I can't. I mean, look, I'm sure it's a glorious place with happy workers, but I don't understand who wants to go vacation in a dictatorship. That just doesn't seem like fun to me. You know what I mean? It's like people who want to go to Thailand to vacation. I don't pretend to know. I think Thailand's actually a monarchy or something, or a republic monarchy, or something. They said Thailand's not a dictatorship, but I mean, there's a place that people talk about vacationing that don't seem any fun to you at all.
People ride around in elephants over there, I think.
Yes, and then and orcs. But anyway, she's all about going to Cuba for some reason, which is a thing that doesn't seem enjoyable to me in the slightest. Especially because what happens?
It hasn't been painted since 1959. That should give you. I mean, the communist countries do provide battleship gray for their countries, and that's about it. But it could use a good paint job.
Everything is
sometime soon.
Everything is just bad, unpainted gray slats. But she keeps trying to get us to go to Cuba. And I don't understand, first of all, A, why you'd want to do that. B, it seems like it's a pain and expensive because you got to go to Canada. And then you got to go from Canada to Cuba. And then if something happens in Cuba, Isn't the government, ours going to tell me just to rot? Isn't that the thing?
Pretty much, yeah.
If I'm in Cuba and I get arrested for something, or there's some sort of action, some sort of misunderstanding, and I'm incarcerated in one of their hellhole prisons, I think the government's just going to tell me to go pound it.
Yeah.
So that's a thing that's not going to happen, by the way. Let's see. What is this guy calling with? I just got Batman information. I wonder if this is the same Batman info we have. Are we still inside the Cuba story here?
Yeah.
Let's finish that up.
Well, people are partying in Miami expecting Castro's death, but they're soon to be disappointed. Their mayor there is urging citizens to keep the celebrations calm and orderly.
This is a moment to celebrate, to be happy, to be joyful as to the things that are occurring in Cuba. But we must remain cognizant of the fact that we cannot block streets. We cannot impede or obstruct traffic.
You can root for death, apparently, though.
Yes, and Castro, Cuba isn't a Disneyland, so people are being cautioned not to joyfully venture down there in the boat.
First of all, it's dangerous, it's hurricane season, and it could very easily be against the law. So we want to just give the people the warnings and let them know what they can do and what they can't do.
Here's the very worst thing about this. The very worst thing is, you know that as soon as Castro dies, I mean at the age of 500 or whenever he finally kicks it, you know we're going to be subjected to that little bastard Elian Gonzalez all over the news again. They're going to, because how old is he now? How old was Elian Gonzalez when that crap happened?
Oh, gee, I don't remember.
5, 6, 7?
Yeah, something like that.
Which means he's got to be 12 now, because that's 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know that it's going to be all Ely and all... If you were listening to the Rick Emerson Show way, way back then, you may remember that we actually established on this program an Elion-free zone. Because there was just so much Elian Gonzalez talk, and we were just up to our eyeballs in that little kid. And so we had to establish lines of demarcation. And that's going to be the problem. They're going to roll him out, and we're going to have to hear from him all the time. He's going to be like that girl that fell down the well. All right. Let's see. What are these people calling about? Oh, I'm sorry. Scotty's taking a bunch of offense at the... Hold on. Scotty is all offended that we did not use his Miami open and close for the Castro news. Let me just play both right now. All right.
Miami.
All right. And
Miami.
Okay, there. Satisfied? All right. Let's see. Paul, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up, Paul?
Hey, okay, you probably already have this information, but this could qualify possibly as a quasi-geek watch.
Is this the Joker news?
Yes.
All right, well, let's do this, Sarah. Let's just do the Geek Watch now.
Yeah, we can.
Let's just do the Geek Watch open.
And then we've got to get out because we have somebody at 1, remember?
Oh, we have to get out at 55.
Yeah.
Right?
Busy.
So I'll tell you what. So let's do the Geek Watch open. We'll have Paul reveal the news. I will comment. Tim will read the other half of the Geek Watch, then we'll close it. Okay, stand by, Paul.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember, you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no
fantastic movie.
Damn shit!
They really ought to make a Galaxy Quest TV show. I would watch that. All right, Paul... Give us the info now.
Okay. Early next year, the production is supposed to start on the next Batman film.
Yes.
Christian Bale is going to return.
Which is great, by the way, because
great,
he's,
by the, way,
he's the best Batman since Val Kilmer.
Right.
Aaron.
And Heath Ledger is going to take on the role as the Joker.
Okay, that's dumb and a bad idea.
Well, we'll have to see how that works. Anyway, the working title right now is Batman The Dark Knight.
Batman, see how... Now, is this going to be based on the Frank Miller graphic novel?
I'm guessing.
Now, okay, well, I guess it would have to be. The Dark Knight is, that's got to
be. That's kind of like his stuff.
And I don't really know enough about Batman to know if he was commonly referred to as the Dark Knight before the Frank Miller thing, but I'm guessing that that's a trademarked, if not Frank Miller himself, then DC. So it's got to be based on that, on the Frank Miller book.
I guess. Okay, go ahead and have Tim take over the rest of it.
Oh, then right, thank you, Paul. Director Christopher Nolan will also return to that motion picture.
Excellent. All right, there you go. That's Paul. Heath Ledger as the Joker just seems... I don't know. I will tell you this, that I haven't seen Brokeback Mountain, so I can't, I really...
He's a fantastic actor, Rick. I think
that's what
he's going to do a good job.
That's what I hear. But really, the only thing I ever saw him in was A Knight's Tale.
Oh.
And that's, And really, when he's on horseback and they're playing We Will Rock You in the background, how am I accurately then to assess his thespian abilities? Is he a good actor?
Yeah, have you seen 10 Things I Hate About You?
No, I have not.
That was the first thing I ever saw him in. He was really, really good in Brokeback Mountain, so much so that I barely even noticed Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
Really?
Yeah,
that's saying something.
Mm-hmm.
He was the model, I hear, for Vincent Chase in Entourage, Heath Ledger's character in real life, him and Mark Wahlberg.
And he has the mouth. I think he'll do a good job.
I don't know, because he's not a real thin guy, though, is he? He's kind of a bigger guy. He's
he's lanky.
Is he bony?
He's not bony.
The Joker is very emaciated. That's the thing. He has a full face. His face is very full.
It couldn't be Don Rickles.
I don't even know what we're talking about now.
Oh, who should play the Joker?
Well, because the name that we have always thrown around, and by we, I mean like me and Aaron and the sort of the Geek Squad, we have always thrown around Crispin Glover. And Crispin Glover, who's like 50 now, so he's probably too old. But, somebody who's very... Because the Joker is all bony and pointy, which is why Jack Nicholson, I thought, made a terrible Joker.
Dustin Diamond?
But you laugh. You laugh, but a guy with the body type of Dustin Diamond would be good. Who's messaging me? Hold on. Hold on, I'm getting now a text message. Aaron, the... Okay, here's the text message. This text message from Aaron the Geek, it just says, "You are a tasteless tool, Val effing Kilmer." See, and I say that just to screw with those guys. Val Kilmer made a... Look, here, you can't deny this, that Val Kilmer made a great Bruce Wayne. That can't be denied.
Mm-hmm.
In your face. Yeah, I said it. But you laugh, but Dustin Diamond, Screech... He wouldn't, I mean, presuming he could act, he would not make a bad Joker. I gotta find a picture. Hold on, let me right now, in real time, because this is very exciting to everybody listening. Let me go to Google Images, because there's nothing more exciting than hearing a guy search Google online. Heath Ledger. Just gonna see whatever the first picture that comes up. Okay, and so we'll go to this picture. This looks good. This looks like a representative photo.
This is interesting.
It is. This is the sort of thing that's gonna make Ninette Sosa a huge fan of... Well, maybe. I can see that. I guess I was thinking he had a more rounded face than he does. He's okay. He's a very slender man. Okay, I could see that. All right. Well, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I'll have to see. I will have to see Brokeback Mountain at some point, just because I know it's a great film and all.
And you'd love 10 Things I Hate About You. I have it. I'll let you borrow it.
Really? And that's got what's-her-name in it? Amanda
Julia
Pete?
Stiles.
Is it Amanda Pete in that? Not Amanda
Pete. No,
Julia
Stiles. It was the one that was filmed over in Seattle.
Oh, right. Okay.
It was in 1998, because I had some friends that were extras in it.
Is that like a Taming of the Shrew kind of a thing? Okay.
It's based on that.
All right. Okay. So, well, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Are we done with the Geek Watch?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Forgive me.
Two of America's top authors, John Irving and Stephen King, have made a plea to J.K. Rowling not to kill the fictional boy wizard Harry Potter in the final book of the series, but Rowling made no promises. "My fingers are crossed for Harry," Irving said in a joint press conference before a charity reading by the three writers at New York's Radio City Music Hall. "I feel quite liberated," said the lady writer. "I can resolve the story now, and it's fun in a way it hasn't been before, because, frankly, I've reached my resolution, and I think some people will loathe it. And some people will love it, but that's the way it should be. We've been working toward the end. I always planned, but a couple of characters I expected to survive have died, and one character got a reprieve." She declined to elaborate.
All right. Well, I've made my observations about this, my predictions before. So we'll have to wait and see. Does it say when the book's coming out?
No.
All right. Okay, there you go. There's your Geek Watch.
By Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next. Loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Well, let's do one more story, and then we'll break, and we'll come back with Bob.
Wait, yes? Yes,
Bob Costantini, who was going to talk about people rooting for Castro to die.
A Midwestern man has been hospitalized, his wife suspected of dragging him and running him over with a pickup truck. Deputies suspected use of alcohol and pain medication may have been a factor in the accident that broke the man's hips, foot, arm, and pelvis. There were a gathering at the couple's home, and people were drinking alcoholic beverages. The host ran out of beer, and the wife got into the truck with intentions of driving to the market to buy more. The husband had tried to stop the wife from leaving by taking the keys out of the truck. Witnesses say the wife resisted and shouted a vulgar retort at her spouse. With an open driver's side door, she started driving and dragging her husband a short distance. She ran over him with the left rear truck tire.
Okay, that's no good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The wife was arrested for operating a vehicle under the influence, causing incapacitating injury, and transported to a local jail.
Can you imagine how hard it was to be a kooky talk show host during Prohibition? Like 85% of the stories we have just didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen to this. Crispin Glover should be the Riddler. That's a or be a Joker. Let's see. No, wait. What am I reading here? Crispin Glover in Batman, better than Joker, would be a perfect Riddler. Oh, okay. Well, whatever. As long as they don't bring back Jim Carrey, that's all I care about. Real quickly, The Passion of the Mel. I'm told the Malibu Sheriff Cruisers run full video, not just audio.
Yeah.
Imagine the money.
I would imagine it is Malibu.
I'd have to say, I saw your suit. I have to say, get to the gym or go to the tailor. Okay, thank you, sir. This is a good question, too, about Mel Gibson. I have not seen the photographs. Tell me he still has the Saddam Hussein beard. No, he's clean-shaven in these photographs. Looks a little crazy, though. Looks crazy, but he doesn't have the... But you remember, he did have that full-on scraggly beard going for a while, mm-hmm. though? So there, if there's that makes sense. If there are audio tapes, it's Malibu. That's a high price community. There's got to be they've got to have video. They have video here, and it's just Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's can you imagine? Can you imagine what all the back channel communications that are going on right now between like E and Access Hollywood and all those with the Malibu Sheriff's Department trying to get a copy of that? That's like that story we had about a year ago, where some guys broke into Britney's house and they stole that sex tape. And then it was at the sheriff's department for like a day, you know. And then they gave it back, and you know there's a copy of that. You know that if you work at the sheriff's department and a guy brings in a copy of Britney Spears pre-pregnancy, I believe, having sex, that there's you know the first thing you do is make a copy of that because that's your retirement money right there. That's your nest egg. So anyway. Well, let's break here. We'll come back. Bob Costantini. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. We'll do a recap of the week in geek. What else? Rockstar recap. The Rockstar Supernova recap. The Stormwatch. It's the worst song you've ever heard. And we'll talk a little bit about Delana, especially this week, because there's some stuff I want to talk about with her. So you stay there. Don't go anywhere. Just Twisted Sister.